Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 16, Lord Parasurama destroys the ruling class, text number 20, without purport, so we'll read up till we have a purport. Thereafter, Parasurama joined his father's head to the dead body and placed the whole body and head upon kusa grass. By offering sacrifices, he began to worship Lord Vasudeva, who is the all-pervading super soul of all the demigods and of every living entity. After completing the sacrifice, Lord Parasuram gave the eastern direction to the Hota as a gift, the south to the Brahma, the west to the Advarya, and the north to the Udgata, and the four corners, northeast, southeast, northwest, and southwest, to the other priests. He gave the middle to Kasyapa and the place known as Aryavata to the Upadrashta. Whatever remained, he distributed among the Sadasyas and the associate priests. Prabhupada, the tract of land in India between the Himalayan mountains and the Vindhya hills is called Aryavata. Text number 23, Tetas Chava Brita Snana Piduta Shesha Kilbishaha Sarasvatyam Mahanadyam Reje Vyavra Evang Shuman Ta-ta, thereafter, cha, also, avabrita snana, by bathing after finishing the sacrifice, viduta, cleansed, ashesha, unlimited, kilvisha, whose reactions to sinful activities, Sarasvatyam, on the bank of the great river Sarasvati. Mahanadyam, one of the biggest rivers in India. Reje, Lord Parasurama appeared. Vyabra, cloudless, eva as amsuman, like the sun. Little music is good. Thereafter, translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, having completed the ritualistic sacrificial ceremonies, Lord Parasurama took the bath known as the Avabritya Stana, standing on the bank of the great river Saraswati, cleared of all sins. Lord Parasurama appeared like the sun in a clear, cloudless sky. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Yagnata karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana. Work then as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Karma bandana refers to the repeated acceptance of one's material body after another. The whole problem of life is this repetition of birth and death. Therefore, one is advised to work to perform yajna, meant for satisfying Lord Vishnu. Although Lord Parasurama was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he had to account for sinful activities. Everyone in this material world, however careful he may be, must commit some sinful activities, even though he does not want to. For example, one may trample many small ants and other insects while walking on the street and kill many living beings unknowingly. Thereafter, the Vedic principle of Pancha Yajna, five kinds of recommended sacrifices, is compulsory. In this age of Kali, however, there is a great concession given to people in general. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayar Yantihi Sumedha Saha. We may worship Lord Chaitanya, the hidden incarnation of Krishna. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishna. Although he is Krishna himself, he always chants the Hare Krishna mantra and preaches Krishna consciousness. One is recommended to worship this incarnation by chanting the Sankirtan Yajna. The performance of Sankirtan Yajna is a special concession for human society to save people from being affected by known or unknown sinful activities. We are surrounded by unlimited sins, and therefore it is compulsory that one take the Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We're fortunate to be able to come to class because, according to Bhagavad Gita, the material energy leads to a state of forgetfulness. If we're involved in the material nature, we easily forget who we are, how the material world works, what the purpose of life is, etc. As Krishna says, that will dhyayato vishayam pumsam sangasteshu pajayate sangha sanjayate kama kara kama krodo bhajayate krodha bhavati samoha samoha smriti vibramsat smriti bramsat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashati. That when we're not chanting Hare Krishna, when we're not engaged in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, not just mechanically, but actually we're doing it to please Krishna in Krishna consciousness, then there's a vacuum in our consciousness. And so this is our tendency to want to be happy and enjoy. We're going to have to fill it up with some other thoughts, some pleasant thoughts from our past, ice cream cones and pizza, friendly relationships, dancing, whatever. Well, our minds will become naturally gravitate to some past remembrance where life was good for a few seconds. And then we think, oh, if I can only experience that again. So the Maya says, yes, we'll arrange it for you. You're my devotee, of course, we'll fulfill your desires. We'll give you an opportunity. And therefore, some opportunity will come for us to enjoy our senses. And as soon as we become interested in enjoying our senses, then Maya supplies the inspiration called lust, which burns like fire, which more or less tells us you have to satisfy this demand. There's like an itching sensation. If you're having an itching sensation, naturally there's happiness when you scratch it. And when you don't scratch it, there is agitation. So that we think, well, all right, I'll scratch it, I'll be happy for a few seconds, and hopefully it'll go away. And it doesn't go away. As soon as we stop scratching, then it itches more. And then we have to scratch some more. And finally there may be some blood and infection, and we get entangled in our innocent itching. So that's how the material world works. It's always trying to attract us in some way. Of course, in the mode of goodness, the itching is different from the mode of passion or ignorance, but there's always some itching. In the mode of goodness, it's intellectual. In the mode of passion, it's mental. And the mode of ignorance, it's sensual. Mode of ignorance, we just have to eat more, we have to sleep more, everything looks beautiful. And of course, ultimately, the ultimate pleasure in the material world is to sleep and dream about how wonderful we are. And the mode of passion, it's mental. Let me increase that my happiness, make the atmosphere more beautiful, attractive, more sensual, whatever. Add a few flowers and the table, so when I eat my dead animal, we're eating it in aristocratic consciousness. And the mode of goodness is intellectual, how we can become God and dominate the material world or get out of the material world. How we can get out of the material world and enjoy the bliss of being how just my wonderful self. How I can take full shelter of myself and enjoy Brahman. I can forget about everything else and just concentrate on the most important thing in the world, myself. So that's material energy. As soon as we get into that mood, then Maya will offer us something to gratify our desire, either in goodness, passion, or ignorance. And then, if our desire is satisfied, if the itching goes away and it comes back again, then we want to do it again. If we get some material benefit, then we want more and more and more. There's no end to it. Maya never usually says, Maya by itself never says, you're satisfied now, you have enough. One never has enough under the spell of Maya. It was never good enough. It never lasted long enough. And then the result is, one can never find what one is looking for, the satisfaction, the happiness, so one becomes frustrated, angry. It's someone else's fault that I'm not happy. They did it. I'm a victim. Everyone should cry for me. And then we wind up absorbed in illusion. I mean, we're already in illusion, but we just increase it. All kinds of envy, animosity, foolishness, everything that's simply makes us more and more unhappy, but we think it's all justified because I'm a good person. I deserve to suffer. To be immersed in lamentation and hankering. It makes me feel good. And then we forget that we're eternal spiritual beings, that we're actually, our goal in life is to obtain Krishna, that Krishna loves us, he's everywhere, and we can surrender to him and make our lives meaningful. We forget it all, and we chalk out a path of so-called material happiness. And then we lose our intelligence completely and wind up doing foolish things, suffering, and then blame it on everyone else. Until finally we realize that maybe I have some part to play in this whole thing. Maybe the choices I'm making are influencing my results. And then we wake up a little bit, and then we try to control the senses, try to follow the four principles, and above everything try to chant Hare Krishna, so that the influence of the material energy diminishes somewhat. If we can just get 1 inch above the ocean of material energy, then we won't be affected by the material nature. We may not be saved, we may not be in Vaikuntha, but at least we're not drowning in the ocean of material suffering, material illusion. So that's the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who's introduced that. And the material world is to help us take it seriously. And to take it seriously, we have to associate with the devotees, because if we associate with the non-devotees too much in the wrong consciousness, then the result is that they'll convince us that there is no Krishna, we are this body, there is no such thing as karma, and you better grab everything you can to enjoy as soon as you can. And then one becomes immersed in illusion, and actually thinks that this is the only reality. But in the association of devotees, at least we're reminded of the same things over and over again that we're actually eternal souls. We're not this body. We have to use the body. We have to maintain it. But we can't live for the body. The body is not the ultimate deity. The ultimate deity is Krishna. And we can take care of the body so we can use it in Krishna's service. Because ultimately it belongs to Krishna and is meant to be utilized for Krishna's service. And the more we become aware of that, then the more we'll be easily chant Hare Krishna. The more we'll remember Krishna, the more we'll there won't be gaps between coming to class, coming to arati, chanting Hare Krishna, chanting japa, where we struggle to remember Krishna, and sometimes we even do it. Sometimes Krishna even pops into our memory. And then we think we're great devotees. We're Mahabhagavats. I've reached the perfection. And then there's a big gap again as we go about our quite normal life where we're living like a normal person. Swimming in the ocean of Maya and our delusions, relishing our sentiments and our feelings, trying to serve them because they're true and good, and they're meant to be served. To protect my ultimate deity, my false ego. But if we stay in the association of devotees and practice, and gradually we'll be able to understand that although Prabhupada seems to be repeating the same thing over and over and again, it's because we didn't hear it the first time. We didn't hear it the second time. And we refuse to hear it a thousandth time. But maybe in 1001 we'll think, well, okay. I might as well surrender a little bit. I'm spending my time here. Why should I just waste it? Let me surrender a little bit and accept it a little bit. And then Krishna will be very happy. He knows in our heart. He knows, oh, this soul is actually taking it a little seriously. And then it'll help us. He'll take us a little bit more seriously. Therefore, it's all auspicious, this process of sadhana bhakti. It'll help us chant Hare Krishna so that eventually we'll become addicted to chanting. We won't be able to stop chanting because the taste will be so sweet. Associating with Krishna, Shrimati Radharani, their associates, will be unbelievably sweet, nectarian, and therefore we cannot stop chanting Hare Krishna. Because it gets more sweeter as we chant, each time we chant. Like a fish, for no reason will it want to go out of the water. You may offer it so many allurements, a big house, a big car, so many things, but it won't leave the water. Because it knows with leaving the water, it cannot be happy. So eventually we'll realize, without associating with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, there's no such thing as happiness. It's just impossible. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Interesting that Parasaram took so long. He finally joined the head of Jadmadagni to his body, put him on Kusha grass, and I guess he's going to come back to life. In the meantime, he killed the Kshatriyas 21 times. So these are all Krishna's pastimes. Krishna comes in order to set the world, the atmosphere, in such a way as that it becomes conducive to Krishna consciousness. And in different ages, it's done in different ways. So in this age, we can see it's also being done. Krishna is taking care of all the rascals who won't surrender. He's having them engage with each other. And hopefully the devotees will step back and realize that rather than waste the time that this is my enemy, that's my enemy, we should become Krishna conscious and realize my enemy really is my mind, who doesn't see everyone as Krishna's servant, who doesn't see the material world in relation to Krishna, who actually gets involved in this so-called friends and enemies, and instead of actually seeing everyone as Krishna's servant and therefore my duty is to help them become Krishna conscious, whoever they might be, the best I can. Okay, yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, how do we, because this chapter is about relationship between Kshatriyas and Brahmanas, how do we apply this in the context of the Hare Krishna movement?
Follow the authority. The Brahmanas, the spiritual teachers, they give us the vision how to cooperate with the authority. I mean, unless the authority is a rascal like King Venu or something, but then the Brahmins will take care of them. So, the Brahmins give us the vision how to perform yajna. Gives the Kshatriyas, especially the managers, the vision what the yajna is and how to execute it. And the administrators are supposed to execute what the Brahmins have decided is the path towards success, spiritual success. And everyone else is supposed to cooperate. Now, if everyone thinks they're a Brahmin, still someone has to make a decision who's actually, what path we take. Nowadays, everyone thinks they're a learned scholar, even though they've never read any book. They think their vision of life is actually what should be, everyone should engage. Therefore, the authorities have to understand that they can't become a servant of everyone without becoming a servant of the scriptures and the Brahmins. If they follow everyone's advice, they won't follow the Brahmins and the scriptures' advice, because the scripture says we should follow the scriptural advice and those who have understood it to the best of their ability, those who are the most learned, most awakened, most realized the purpose of scripture, we should follow their advice and not follow everyone else's advice. Krishna is not schizophrenic and he has a different opinion in everyone's heart. Krishna has one opinion and that's what we're trying to discover. And not everyone is going to know what Krishna's opinion is. Although we should be open for those who are sincere, sincerely following, and have some actual knowledge, some realization. But we shouldn't blindly follow everyone. As if the Brahmins are, the scripture might be wrong, those who are learned and Brahmins who are actually sincerely following, they might be wrong. If the administrators are wrong, and my little group of rebels, we're always right.
There is a question from Bhakti Yoga Tilburg. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your enlightening lecture about the self-absorption in mode of goodness or Brahman realization. How to recognize that? Because when we are in that mood, then we would think that we are right about everything.
Well, if you think you're right about everything, you're wrong. It means you're in ignorance. Krishna is right about everything. And when we're in Krishna consciousness, we know that Krishna is only going to tell us as much as we need, Krishna wants us, we deserve to know, or as much as Krishna thinks we need to know. Krishna doesn't tell us everything. He tells us what we have to know, if that's what we want to know. So everyone who thinks he knows everything, he thinks they're Krishna. It means they're completely in Maya. There's no hope for them. Except to get out of that false prestige, thinking that they know everything. Therefore, as it said, the mode of goodness, this fall down from the mode of goodness is due to pride. Thinking they know everything. Like Ramaharshan Sutta. Ramaharshan, he thought he knew everything, and therefore he didn't honor even Lord Balaram. And he learned the hard way. All right. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.